Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, Peace be to you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Your Excellency, Reverend Fathers, dear faithful, and dear children, the second day of our 40 hours devotion is devoted to Holy Eucharist and peace. Today's Mass for Peace presents to us the great consoling words of our Lord, Peace be to you. Only a week ago, we prayed our rosary procession for peace, and today we do the same in front of our Lord himself. The Fatima apparitions happened during the First World War. By that time of the world history, that was a war without comparison. All previous wars were eclipsed by its scale of destruction. World War I was the first total war in which the fighting parties mobilized all their resources, military, industrial, and human, and this they did on a scale never before seen or even thought possible. This war was perhaps best remembered for the massive loss of human life. The Pope at that time was Benedict XV, and he wrote during the war, day by day the earth is drenched with newly shed blood and is covered with the bodies of the wounded and of the slain. How could all this have taken place? The Pope answered that it was because the people had rejected the commandments of Christ and forgot about love and compassion. When the peace finally came in the year 1918, or seemed to come, the Pope urged all Catholics to pray for peace and those undertaking the peace negotiations. However, he pointed out that true peace had not come, only that hostilities, slaughter, and devastation had been ceased for a while. And how right he was. In the two decades following this peace of 1918, many had the firm conviction that this kind of travesty could never happen again, that the First World War would be the war to end all wars. Of course, now we know better that it was only the first act, and much, much worse was to come. Dear faithful, it was on the evening of Easter Sunday when the 11 apostles and their disciples were assembled together, the doors of their room being closed, and Jesus came and stood in their midst, saying to them, Peace be to you. But how can we have peace when we see so much war and see the faith being attacked day by day? We can, because our Lord left us the holy sacrifice of the Mass and the Holy Eucharist. It was on a Sunday after the apostles had celebrated Mass and the disciples received communion when our Lord appeared and said, Peace be to you. By these words, our Lord told them that through his death and resurrection and its renewal in the holy sacrifice, they had partaken to the only thing what can bring them true peace. In every Mass, just like at the Last Supper, there is the breaking of bread, which is accompanied with a call for peace. May the peace of the Lord be always with you. The priest holds the sacred particle in his fingers and makes three crosses over the chalice. Then he drops the particle, the broken part of the host, into the chalice, exactly what our Lord did at the Last Supper. Saint John writes that our Lord dipped the bread and gave it to Judas Iscariot, and on that moment the devil entered Judas. It was because the devil could not stand peace. And Jesus said to Judas, "That which thou doest, do it quickly." And Judas ran to betray him, to prepare the way of our Lord from unbloody sacrifice to the bloody sacrifice. The Mass is the renewal of the sacrifice which Christ, the eternal priest, offered on the cross. There is so little peace in today's world because it's the Holy Eucharist, Christ's present in our midst and in us, which is the best promoter of peace and the best bond of peace. The 40 hours is an excellent time to think this, for now we are paying special attention to our Lord on the altar. The Holy Eucharist is the sacrament of peace, not only because He tells us from His tabernacle that He has come to bring peace to the world, but also because our Masses and the 40 hours bring us together as one family. What else is our congregation of St. Gertrude the Great than a family, enjoying the fruits of the same redeeming sacrifice which brings peace to our midst? Where else in this war and terror-torn world can you find groups of people united in mind and heart, as you find kneeling before the altar, kneeling before our Lord present on the altar? Holy Communion gives us the return to redemption as one family, creatures of God, remitted through the sacrament of Holy Eucharist and also through penance. When Jesus declared peace to rule in the midst of His disciples, He also gave His apostles and to their successors, the bishops and priests, the power of forgiving sins, of bringing true peace to the heart which is disturbed with sin. He not only wished peace to His followers, but He gave them the means of securing peace of soul when He declared, "Whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven them, and whose you shall retain, they are retained." But Holy Communion promotes the peace in another way too, for example, in the sacrament of matrimony. Husband and wife, they often struggle in maintaining peace in the family and face difficulties in living together. But if they kneel together at the altar of our Lord, and they should do that often as a married couple, they will be bound together much more securely by the presence of our Lord in their hearts. Did you know that in the Church's ritual, this sacrament of matrimony is called a yoke of peace? In the nuptial blessing, the officiating priest prays God, "Mayest thou regard thy handmaid here present with bounteous kindness, for she is to be united to her husband in lifelong communion, and hence entreats thee for strength and protection. May holy matrimony become for her a yoke of peace and of love." So is it any wonder that after the enemies of faith have done such a successful work in doing everything they can to make the Holy Mass and priesthood disappear, they have now raised their arms against the sanctity and unity of marriage. But Holy Eucharist does not bring peace only to congregations and families. If used correctly, it could bring peace to the whole world. In the old days, there existed a beautiful custom when the treaties of peace between nations were sealed by giving Holy Communion to the representatives of the nations making the agreement. At the communion of the Mass, the celebrant would break one of the sacred hosts in two and give one half to one signer and the other half to the other. The last time this was done was in the year 1520 in France, when King Francis of France and King Henry VIII of England, who then was still a staunch defender of the Catholic faith, met and made a peace treaty. The summit was arranged at the site called the Field of the Cloth of Gold, so named because of the expensive tents and clothing used in the occasions. On the morning of Corpus Christi, Cardinal Wolsey officiated at High Mass before the assembled courts, and the kings, Henry and Francis, they received the Eucharist as a pledge of the peace, and Wolsey gave a general indulgence for all present. But this was the last time this was used. Already while they were celebrating Corpus Christi, the reformers, whose sad anniversary is at hand now, the reformers were working hard in destroying the unity of Christendom, the sacraments of Holy Eucharist, and the priesthood. In a few years, King Henry would abandon his marriage, his yoke of peace and of love, reminiscing of our Lord's words to Judas, "That which thou doest, do it quickly." Dear faithful, we, on the other hand, we have all the means necessary to bring us lasting peace. As you heard on Sunday, this 40 hours is like a call to a marriage feast. Tomorrow evening it will end, but the feast of the resurrection and the gathering of our family into Holy Eucharist comes to us every single Sunday. It was on a Sunday that our Lord rose from the dead, and on the following Sunday, the apostles and disciples were again once more gathered together. It was on a Sunday on which God both completed and confirmed the work of redemption. We need peace into our midst, and the best way to achieve that is that we are faithful to our Lord's call to come to worship Him in the Blessed Sacrament and receive Him in the Holy Eucharist. And as the sacrament of matrimony is called a yoke of peace and of love on this earth, we receive the Holy Eucharist so that, as the priest says to you when he administers it, "May the body of our Lord Jesus Christ keep thy soul unto life everlasting. Amen." God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.